move, going deep, speed race. He's got Hill! He's got Hill!
From the Baptist Health Studios, inside the Baptist Health Training Complex, this is Drive Time with Travis Wingfield.
He's got it! Miami is in the playoffs!
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast. I am your host, Travis Wingfield, and on today's show, we welcome in the great Simon Clancy from the 3 Yards Per Carry Podcast. We're breaking down the safety class in this year's draft, but there is so much good Dolphins content sprinkled throughout. The Dolphins' first-round prospects, the position flexibility, what might they do if Brock Bowers is available to them? We talked about everything on this episode. You don't want to miss it. From the Baptist Health Studios, inside the Baptist Health Training Complex, this is the Drive Time Podcast.
My name is
My guest today, the great Simon Clancy. Joining me today to break down the back end of the defense in this year's class, you guys know him from his popular Dolphins podcast, 3 Yards Per Carry, Simon Clancy. Simon, it has been a minute, and you're about 5 hours ahead of me as well. How's the future, and how are you doing, man?
The future looks good. I mean, it's the sun shining, which is pretty rare for this country at the moment. So, yeah, I'm good. Trav, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean, We've actually had, usually it's like an oven down here this time of year, but it hasn't got here yet. So the weather has been fantastic. The golf has been great. Enjoying the outdoors with my kids as well.
Absolutely.
You mentioned being, you know, in a different country. Simon's from the UK. I'm always curious to ask these questions. We had a German Dolphins fan club co-founder on the podcast when we had the game over in Frankfurt. And I asked him, what's a game day like for a Dolphins fan in Germany? I'm sure you've gotten that question a million times.
Yeah.
What's the draft like, man? For a guy that does a full draft guide, that this is kind of your bread and butter. Is it tough to watch an event that's basically happening in the middle of the night, 3 days in a row?
No, not really, because I am completely, I mean, this is, I've been an NFL fan for 40 odd years now. And so my entire life system is, you know, games, college games, NFL games in the middle of the night. And so really it's not, you know, I'm by nature somebody that doesn't go to bed early anyway. So I am always up in the middle of the night watching games. So the draft really is just another thing that starts really late and finishes really early in the morning that you just kind of get used to. And you know, growing up, you know, the NFL wasn't huge over here at all and really sort of started mid-80s. And I would have to, you know, I got my early fixes listening to Armed Forces Radio, so military radio, and would tune in on a Saturday night to listen to college football and all my friends were out with girls and getting drunk and that sort of stuff. And there was I geeking out to, you know, Gordy Lockbaum of Holy Cross and you know, Andy Kelly of Tennessee and players like that in the 80s and then listening to Dolphins games and whatever games they had on Armed Forces on a Sunday. But the draft was amazing because I became fascinated by it, but there was no coverage. It was not live on television here. And all you would get was the staff sergeant at Armed Forces Radio would read out who the top 28 picks were at the time. And then obviously the expansion of the league. And you could absolutely guarantee that every year when it got to the Dolphins pick, the reception would start to go all crackly. So if Dolphins were picking at 15, you could guarantee that at 14, all of a sudden the receptions start to go a little bit funny. Middle of 15, as the name was being announced, you could hear like an opera singer from sort of Austria in the background, and then it would completely disappear and then come back in at 17, absolutely crystal clear. So, and there would be no way of finding out. There would literally be no way of finding out until, you know, you got USA Today or the International Herald Tribune here on a Monday to find out who the Dolphins had picked. So that was the early draft experience. So now to be able to live it through the magic of television is a beautiful thing.
It's funny because I when I was younger, I thought, oh, they always go to commercial during the Dolphins pick. But now I'm realizing every fan base has the exact same argument and they say the same thing. So the more you find out about the league, the more you realize all 32 fan bases are kind of the same for the most part.
Absolutely.
So it's just football fans, man. Let's go ahead and pivot now to talk about the safety class because it's a fun one this year. The guy that is at the top of some boards went to my alma mater. So we'll talk about that here in a minute. But I did tell you offline before we get into the draft prospects, I wanted to discuss this. And I think it's one of your greatest areas of expertise with the X's and O's, because we have our ideas about what an Anthony Weaver front might look like based upon evidence, how he deployed that Ravens front last year to great success as well. But the coverage aspect is sort of, I guess, a projection, but we do have some context clues with the additions of Kendall Fuller and Jordan Poyer. The linebacker spot got so much more, you know, flexible and coverage based with Jordan Brooks coming in. I'm curious what you think the back end could look like, projecting what it could look like as the Dolphins pivot from Fangio to Anthony Weaver.
Yeah, it's fascinating not really knowing and only really studying kind of what Mike McDonald used last year and how that was used. And you look at some of the pieces that they had on the back end and how the kind of you can match, you know, even the linebackers. You look at, you know, Brooks and David Long ending up being the Roquan Smith and the Patrick Queen. But you look at the statistics, the Ravens played an awful lot of two high, a lot of cover two, a lot of cover six. They played some zone on the inside, some man on the outside. But when I dug into the weeds, Mike McDonald was in zone 73% of the time last year. So it'll be fascinating to see. And obviously what they had is that they just had this, to me, until he got injured, was probably the best defensive player in the league in Kyle Hamilton, who's this 6'4", 220-pound alien. He runs a 4.5, who they lined up in six or seven different positions. And you kind of think, who's going to play the Kyle Hamilton position? And then you wonder, you know, is anybody going to recreate that because he's such a unique player? But it's interesting to kind of to weigh up and to try and marry up. You know, Javon Holland, does Javon Holland have the capacity to play a Kyle Hamilton style of position? You know, you go back and look what he did at Oregon. He is a safety in the Dolphins defense. But for, you know, he sat out a year and then he played a year and a half as a slot corner. I mean, he didn't play free safety for 2.5 years before he came into the NFL because he sat out the year and then he played in the slot. I think in his final season at Oregon, I think he played 8 snaps at safety and everything else was slot. So, you know, can he go and do what Kyle Hamilton did? You know, we'll get on to some of the players that are going to be in this draft and a couple of them that I think maybe could be their sort of Swiss Army knives. But I don't think you're ever going to quite match up to what Hamilton does. But it will be interesting. You look back last year, Geno Stone, obviously 7 picks last year, very consistent as that kind of deep third guy, the post safety. Marcus Williams, who really was that guy in New Orleans as the post safety, then really sort of cheating down and becoming that kind of box safety, the alley runner, the guy that the robber kind of thing, who just did so much of the dirty work before he got injured and then allowed Hamilton to do what he did, whether that was lining up at safety, in the slot, outside corner, linebacker, blitzer, interior defensive lineman. He was lined up edge rusher. So I'm fascinated to see what he'll do. And I do think when you look at our personnel in terms of, you know, Jordan Poyer for Marcus Williams, you know, Javon could be the Geno Stone. Javon could also have elements of the Kyle Hamilton. We can obviously man match outside with Ramsey. And it was interesting to hear Anthony Weaver talking about how he's going to move Jalen all over the formation, which is what he wants to do. So you'll see him sometimes in the slot. Obviously, Kendall is good in both zone and man. So I really don't know the answer to it, but I think there are lots of pieces to allow us to be incredibly flexible. And what you want is you want a guy that can do all sorts of things on the back end in terms of confusing coverages and all those sorts of things, because we do have the weaponry to be able to do it. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it lines up. And I suspect they'll probably play pretty much like the Ravens did. And I'm sure that, you know, a head coach like Mike McDaniel, who's always looking to push the needle, will be asking questions about whether or not, you know, can a Kyle Hamilton type of player work with the Dolphins?
And that was your preview for training camp recaps here on the Drive Time podcast, because that's what I'm going to be looking at every single day of camp this summer. I cannot wait to see how it all plays out, because you just talked about, like, there's so many different routes we could see this thing take, how it could go. And like, when you mentioned Javon Hall, and I think about, he made a play in the Pac-12 championship game. I think it was his last year at Oregon. And I know you'll know what I'm talking about, where he's like playing the slot to the front side three. And then like he peels off and gets to the backside two and just like jumps this route and picks it off and makes this crazy play where he never should have been in the first place. That's why I think like he could possibly filter into that role. And then like Jalen Ramsey, like you talk about, I mean, my goodness, he can do whatever you ask him to do. And then by the way, Kyle Hamilton making it to the 14th or 15th pick, whatever it was, that was criminal. Like
to be able to play single high like he did and go from the field side to the boundary side with such speed, with such freedom of movement at 6'4", 220 pounds was crazy. And to allow him to get to the Ravens was one of the big, you know, a huge AFC mistake. He's such a good player.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that. And he was a big part of what the Ravens ran on that back end because of that flexibility, because of his range, and it helps him disguise so much too. And it's funny because every time we play the Bills, I usually ask Tua, like, how tough are Hyde and Poyer to go against? And he's like, they never change. They're always interchangeable. So it's always, you don't know how the coverage is going to tilt. And so with that in mind, Poyer being here, Holland with the Ravens kind of influence and Anthony Weaver, tell the fans about what a big nickel package is, what it does, what it accomplishes, because we saw the Ravens run that all the time last year, almost their base, right? A three safety package on defense. I remember Minkah Fitzpatrick being down here was a big part of the big nickel package they ran. Just talk to us about that a little bit and how it helps the defense run that as almost like its base opposed to a traditional two safety coverage.
Yeah, I mean, it's the NFL's kind of hottest defensive formation, really, in terms of, you know, the biggest trend. And it's what, you know, this is what the modern game is going towards. And you know, we talk about offensive linemen coming into the league in terms of, you know, being struggling as run blockers, struggling to do all these things, but you tend to find much better pass protectors now coming out of college, mainly because, you know, college football is essentially just pass, and it's taken on all the concepts of high school football. And the NFL is cyclical and has now taken on all the kind of the college concepts. And, you know, so all you're doing is kind of crafting exotic kind of zone blitz schemes to use a whole variety of kind of personnel packages to neutralize, you know, an opponent's number one weapon. And astute play callers, defensive play callers, just aren't afraid to sort of deploy, I don't know, unorthodox kind of tactics to get their teams in the best position to win. And I think you look at a team, and ironically, you know, a Vic Fangio coach team, but you look at the Philadelphia Eagles from a couple of years ago with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who, you know, came over from Florida, was at New Orleans, and then went to the Eagles and was able to just do a multiple array of things in terms of being a slot corner, but also a big nickel who can walk down into the box, play the run with power and with tenacity and drive and make tackles, but can also carry, you know, number one receivers 40, 50 yards down the field, you know, in trail, in perfect hip-to-hip coverage. And that's what every team is looking for. We, you know, base defense is no longer, you know, four men up front, three men in the middle and four men on the back. That's just not how, you know, every team is in nickel and dime almost all of the time. So to be able to have that kind of chess piece, that Swiss Army knife, who can come in, who can man match from the slot, who can play, you know, robber at that kind of, when we talk about robber in terms of that sort of that, I suppose, the invisible line that separates where the linebackers might drop to the point where the safeties come into we'll get on to somebody like Cole Bishop of Utah in a minute, who'll be a perfect robber in the NFL, but somebody like that, but someone that can play, you know, a bit of linebacker in terms of just being able to match up with running backs out of the backfield, with tight ends down the field, but also you're not scared to have a guy who can run 40, 50 yards with a slot receiver like a Tank Dell or a number one receiver like a Tyreek Hill. And you feel comfortable with somebody like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to be able to do that. And that's, you know, that's what he's so good at. That's what Kyle Hamilton will do. That's what the league is coming to. And, you know, you look at some of the draft eligible guys in this draft class, you're not just predicting whether can he be an outside corner purely? Can he be a nickel corner purely? But can he also be a big safety or a nickel safety who can come down and do all those things that just help a defense focus and win from multiple alignments?
That takes me to my first question perfectly, because is there a guy in this class? Because I look at, for instance, Iowa's Cooper DeJean as a guy that he's so athletic and the ball skills and the instincts and the tape is so good. And I've seen people talk about that. Maybe even your co-host Chris Kaufman has mentioned that a few times. I think he's talked about that. I could be wrong, but is he a guy that you think could be a guy that gets drafted high because of the ability to not just play perimeter cornerback, but to be a Kyle Hamilton, a Javon Holland, a Jalen Ramsey, a guy that moves all over the formation on defense?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, to me, Cooper, and I would call him DeJean, but maybe that's a European thing. But,
I could be wrong. That's my bad.
Maybe it's just the kind of, I'm close to France, so maybe that's what it is. I mean, to me, he's one of the more unique players in this entire class. I mean, he is that kind of modern day weapon that we talked about. He has started at cornerback. He started at what Kirk Ferentz calls the cash position, which is this sort of free safety linebacker hybrid. He's played at safety. He's practiced heavily at both strong and free safety for the Hawkeyes, and just an incredible athlete. I mean, this guy was a state champion twice in football. He was a state champion in basketball, averaging 25 points a game. He scored more points in Iowa high school basketball history than, and I can't remember the guy's name, but he plays in the NBA for the Sacramento Kings. But, you know, this is a guy who is an incredible athlete. He won a state championship in the 100 meters. He won a state championship in the long jump. he was a quarterback in high school, and he was recruited by South Dakota State to go and play quarterback. So he is incredibly athletic, and teams will have to ask whether or not he is best suited as a zone corner, or whether or not he takes on that Gardner Johnson sort of role as a safety who can cover tight ends and slots down the field. He's got some stiffness in his hips. You know, when you see him trying to man match and then turn, which I think will probably take him out of sort of the ideal, you know, teams that will run press coverage the whole time. But as an incredible Swiss Army knife that can be used in a variety of ways, I think he'd be perfect for the Dolphins in terms of, you know, what he can do in terms of playing zone or off man at corner, using those great instincts and ball skills and flashing that great understanding for route combinations and spacing in zone. He's incredibly instinctive. He can work sideline to sideline. He can work from the middle of the field to the sideline. He can step down into the box. I think he's probably the best tackling takedown cornerback in this draft. And the ball production, you can't argue with. There's 7 picks, including 3 pick sixes, 20 pass breakups over the last 2 seasons. And, you know, if you're looking for a guy that can carry receivers down the field, who can step into the box and make tackles, who can line up on the outside as a corner in zone or in off man, I think he is absolutely that. I think he's a top 20, 21 pick. And I think he's a Pro Bowl plus kind of guy. And he's obviously got outstanding juice in the return game.
So if he's the pick at 21 and I see Dolphins Twitter, because I've been seeing the tweets about it, if we take a cornerback, I'm going to be this level of mad, right? If you see his name across the board at 21, just remember this. I'm going to pull this segment back up and play it for you guys again, because it's not just taking a player for one position when it comes to that. So that's
if you think he's a cornerback, then you're doing this wrong. Right. In terms of, if you think he's just a cornerback, then you're doing this wrong.
So we are talking about safeties, because, and that's why I wanted to get to him, because I think that he really kind of checks both those boxes, at least in some ways. But if we are considering him for that role, I would assume that he would be your top safety, even though he's not a safety. I would assume that he's kind of your top guy on the board there. Is there anybody else at the safety group that you think is worthy of the first round? And if not, where does that first guy come off, and who is it?
I don't have another first round safety in the class, I've got to say. And what I love about DeJean is that you can play him in multiple positions. You know, I don't think Miami would use him as a pure safety. I think he would, what he would allow you to do is just allow, he will allow you to move puzzle pieces around. It will mean that Jordan Poyer just isn't a strong safety, you know, alley runner. It will mean that Jalen can, you know, I would imagine Jalen Ramsey will do other things than just play corner. He will play out the slot. He might rotate in to play some safety. And I think that's what you're just looking to manipulate on the back end and confuse on the back end. And, you know, I talked to, when the Ravens came over to London, I talked to Josh Allen after the game about what it's like to play Kyle Hamilton. And Josh Allen says that every time you play the Ravens, Kyle Hamilton is the first person you look for. You know, you have to look and see what he's doing, where he is, and that will help him set his mind as to what else is happening on the back end, but also the front end. Because is he lined up as an edge rusher? Is he lined up at linebacker? Is he coming, you know, is he blitzing off the corner? He's playing pure corner now outside. Oh, look, he's back in the deep third of the field. So, you know, that's the kind of guy that you want. And those are the kind of alignments I think that teams are looking for. I like
mentioned. Go on,
Trav.
No, I was just going to jump into the next, but if you continue that thought, if you can.
No, I like Tyler Newbin. I think Newbin's a, you know, incredibly interesting, experienced safety. He's played 55 games for Minnesota. Very, very good cover safety, solid run defender. I did have some concern, and it sent me back to the tape about his testing scores, which weren't great. But again, you can't argue with the ball production. 12 picks, 21 pass breakups, pair of forced fumbles over the last 3 seasons. We talked about Cole Bishop of Utah, who, you know, I think was flying under the radar a little bit, went to the Senior Bowl and was a bit of a sleeper. And he rocked up there in Mobile, and he dominated in 1v1s. And then he went to the combine and tested absolutely out of the building. And I think as a robber, as a guy that can work with the field in front of him, I think he's an outstanding prospect. And I think there were questions that I had, there were questions that were scouts that I spoke to before the Senior Bowl had, was how would he match up in one-on-one coverage? And he erased people in Mobile. He showed fluid transitions. He was able to break on the ball. Sometimes it looked like he was running the routes for the receivers. And then a guy that came to the Dolphins local pro day, who I'm sure local fans will obviously know really well, is Cam Kitchens, who to me is one of the more difficult assessments in this class, because his tape absolutely drips with quality, and he's got great intangibles. You know, and as a as a high post free safety, he absolutely looks the part, but then he ran poorly at the combine. And it leaves you with significant question marks about whether or not that best position is one that he can play. But I think he plays faster. He has great ball production, and that's been consistent over his time at the U. I think some teams and some people, like myself and others, you kind of get a little bit hung up on that athletic scoring, and rightly so. But I think the Kitchens can play, and you could see him as a high post safety with the Dolphins, freeing up a Javon Holland to go and be a Kyle Hamilton. Kitchens isn't that guy. He is definitely a, you know, he's definitely a post safety, but he would allow people to do different things on that back end. There's a guy I really like, Trav, I don't know if you've seen him, Dadrian Taylor-Demerson of Texas Tech. He is one of the more intriguing sort of ball hawk safeties, and probably a guy that some people have not even heard of. To me, he's kind of the best defensive back. You don't know, not you, but people don't know about. I'm dripping with athleticism on the back end. He never played a down of defense until he got to Texas Tech. He's 5'10", he's 200 pounds. He's not an amazing tackler, but he has outstanding eyes. He is ran a 4.41, and that shows up on tape. He forces QBs into bad decisions because he's got great instincts. He breaks on the ball. He's very, very, very aggressive. And to me, he's a great blitzer as well. So he can line up all over the place. 600 plus snaps in the slot in his last season. Very good in man coverage. And a guy with his skill set, his ball skills, and his versatility shouldn't have too long to wait to hear his name on day two. Just one other guy I really like is, and you've probably seen him as well, is the Bob Sanders clone. That's Malik Mustafa of Wake Forest, who just comes down into the box and just, you know, he is all gas, no brakes as a safety. He just comes down and smacks people in the mouth consistently. Versatile. He flashes from too high, from single high, or in the slot, and he's a fantastic blitzer. He's the sort of guy that, you know, if I was a scout, I'd absolutely bang in the table for. So there's some really interesting pieces. And obviously the Dolphins defensive coaches and Chris and Mike will know exactly the sorts of things that they're going to be running on the back end and the people that they're looking for. And it's us, our little job to try and sort of fit where we think the pieces of the puzzle might go. And, you know, if Anthony Weaver does think Javon can play a bit more of a Kyle Hamilton, then maybe you're looking at a Cam Kitchens. But if Javon's going to play, you know, deeper down the field, then maybe you're looking at a Javon Bullard from Georgia, you know, somebody that can man match from the slot and can attack the box and hit people in the mouth there. So it's fascinating to see what's going to happen and how it's going to play out.
I love that you describe it like that, because I just had a podcast with Dane Brugler from The Athletic. Yeah. We were talking about the tackle class. I had another guest on for the interior offensive line. And like kind of what I came away from those podcasts realizing was like the Dolphins have done such a good job of building versatility on the offensive line in a way that allows them to be flexible come draft day. Like you have the idea of signing players to make your roster ready to play a game tomorrow so that you don't have to take a certain position group. But you also have done it to where like, if it's a tackle or guard, cool, we can do either one because we have this flexibility. And it kind of seems like that's how it is in the back end here, because you mentioned Cam Kitchens, you mentioned Cole Bishop, different games, right? Jaden Hicks from WSU, for instance, a guy that plays down the box, who I just freaking love to watch him play. The logo doesn't hurt, but I love his game as well. It just seems like they kind of have this position now where that third safety can almost be anything because you kind of have a little bit of everything already with Holland and Poyer. Does that feel accurate to you?
Yeah, I think that's right. And just to touch on your point there about what the Dolphins have done in free agency, I think it's really interesting that we go into this draft as a team. I have no idea.
I know
where we're going, but I really don't. You know, I don't think, obviously 21 won't be a quarterback. It won't be a running back. It could easily be a receiver. It could easily be Brian Thomas if he's on the board. It could be Xavier Worthy. It could be. I mean, I love Jalen Polk out of Washington. I'm sorry, as a Wazoo fan, but I
think player. Polk is a
phenomenal player. Xavier Leggett, I think, is a great player. Brock Bowers, you know, and nobody's had a more weird draft season than Brock Bowers in terms of, you know, what's been going on there. If Bowers gets to the sort of Cincinnati, you know, and he gets past the Bengals or even actually into that realm of Seattle or Pittsburgh and, you know, maybe you look to move up. Offensive line, we've obviously filled a number of holes, but there are players there that could help. And you see a Tyler Guyton coming in on the 30 visit. You see a Jackson Powers Johnson coming in on the 30 visit. You see Butch Barry going to Oklahoma to the Tyler Guyton pro day. You see somebody like Amarius Mims, who, you know, Chris Greer loves, a Georgia kid, and that is a guy that was absolutely built in a laboratory. We've got the guys coming off injury with Bradley and Jalen, and you know, so you look at Laiatu Latu, who I absolutely love, but Jared Verse, you know, those guys absolutely fit the bill there. Interior defensive line, we've absolutely filled it with a number of really interesting rotational players. But, you know, would you turn your nose up at a Johnny Newton or a Byron Murphy or, you know, one of those guys? Linebackers, probably not. But, you know, and then we're talking about safeties and corners. And, you know, would you be surprised if they pulled the trigger on Cooper DeJean? And you just can't tell. But one of the things I love that what they've done in free agency is that, and you look at a team like Baltimore, if somebody goes down, somebody gets hurt. You know, it happened in the game where we played them where we got blown out at the back end of the season. But, you know, Marlon Humphrey goes down and, oh, here comes Arthur Millett, and, you know, Brandon Stevens comes down, and, you know, it's guys that you almost don't hear about, you don't really know about, but, you know, here's a Bravion Roy, here's a Brent Urban coming in, here's a Charlie Kolar, here's a, you know, and that's what a really good team like Baltimore does, is fill just with really solid rotational players where the drop-off isn't massive. And I think that's what the Dolphins have done a really good job of in this offseason, is just filling it with kind of, not no names, because that's rude, but, you know, with guys who probably aren't as high profile as some of the free agents in the class, but who, you know, will just come in and do a great job. And I think on the defensive line, certainly, you'll see all sorts of people being rotated in and out, whereas actually we're just used to seeing Christian and Zach and Raekwon on the inside, and those days are gone now. And we might see 7-8 guys, you know, getting snaps on that interior of the defensive line.
Yeah, I think it's really worthy of praise because, you know, you essentially traded out the two big money guys that you didn't bring back, and use that money to essentially round out the rest of the roster and put yourself in a position where, for a team that has taken on so much attrition the last couple of years, to be deeper and to have more options when you do get into this, you're going to get injuries. It's going to happen across the roster. So I'm excited about that. And then to kind of put the full circle bow on it too, like you mentioned that the Raven strategy of drafting like Ravens every year, like this guy's a Baltimore Raven, looks like a Raven when he goes into the draft. Like, because of what Miami has done, all of a sudden they can let the board fall to them, and all those position groups you talked about, Simon, it's going to produce, you would think, one, two, maybe even three guys that shouldn't have been there that fall to that spot, and you can just scoop them up, and now you've got a great looking football player at the 21st pick. So great, great stuff, man. He's a features writer for Gridiron Magazine. He's a founder of Folding Pocket Production Company, a documentary maker, and of course his spot on the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast. You can find him on social at Cy Clancy. Simon, appreciate your time today, man. We got way smarter today, and tell the folks where they can find your draft guide, please.
It is coming out probably in the next 48 hours. So we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. It is 120,000 words. It has been the bane of my life for the last 9 months. I have three players to write up the notes of my film watching tonight. So if you go to @CyClancy, I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to disseminate it, but you can purchase it from there and I'll put the information up. But it is, it's been a labor of love. Sometimes it's been a labor of hate, but yeah, it'll be there.
Those series are always fun to do at the beginning, then you hit the lull, and then you get to the end, and it kind of takes off, and you get back excited about it again. So check it out, Simon Clancy. Appreciate your time today, man. That was really good. Thank you.
Thanks, Trav. Nice to see you.
And away he goes. I was planning on putting cornerbacks and safeties together, but John and Simon were so good by themselves with Chris Greer's press conference, I thought, let's just go ahead and run them separately here. We have enough content for you guys. So there's Simon, a great way to put out a back-to-back podcast here with the Chris Greer and John Ledyard cornerback preview. That's the previous podcast that came out on Tuesday. This, of course, your Wednesday edition of the Drive Time podcast. On Friday, we're doing the offensive line. Dane Brugler from The Athletic, Dante Colonnelli from Dolphins Talk, and a few other websites as well joins me to break down that entire group. Then we'll do tight ends and linebackers on Monday, and then Kyle Krabs is my guest on a Tuesday and Wednesday podcast. And then it's the draft. The draft is right there after that. So plenty of good stuff coming your way here. You'll get a lot smarter about this year's class, about this Dolphins team, the offseason, all of that and more here on the Drive Time podcast. So in the meantime, that's going to be my time. You all please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff. Go ahead and give me a follow on social at WinkleNFL, the team at Miami Dolphins. Check out the Fish Tank podcast with Seth and Juice. Check out the YouTube channel for the Drive Time free agent interviews, the draft prospects coming up, Dolphins Today, media availabilities, and so much more. And last but not least, MiamiDolphins.com. Until next time, fins up. Caroline and Cameron, Daddy, he's coming home.